Welcome back to Activity Quest, the podcast that's packed with stuff to do. This week, Adam's visiting an overstuffed walrus at a very impressive South London museum, and we're making our very own mini museums at home. My name's Bex, and every episode of Activity Quest starts with a fun kids presenter doing something awesome. This week, Adam's off to the Horniman Museum and Gardens in South London, and he's with a very special person, someone who knows all about it.
Hi, I'm John. I'm a volunteer here at the Horniman. The Horniman is an incredibly eclectic museum with a strangely compelling mix of stuff in it. So it's got everything from natural history to butterflies. It's got a music gallery. It's got a world gallery. And it all stems from the collection of Frederick Horniman, who was a tea merchant in the 19th century. And a insatiable collector of stuff, basically. He wanted to bring the world to Forest Hill, and here it is in Forest Hill, but it's expanded and changed and developed over the years for a long time, and now we're left with probably a unique museum for a suburb of London, really.
And we're going to start in the Natural History Gallery, so why don't we go there now?
I mean, so this is the heart of the Horniman, really. It's lots of display cases with stuffed animals in, basically. But the actual heart of this gallery is probably the most famous thing in the Horniman, which is our walrus, which sits upon its iceberg right in the centre of the gallery.
So I have heard all about this walrus. Every single time I say to someone, I'm going to the Horniman in a few weeks' time, they're always like, oh my God, you're going to see the walrus. Just describe what we're looking at here.
Yeah, so this is a walrus. I think it's called an Atlantic walrus, strictly speaking. I mean, there are two types. And this one came from Canada well over 100 years ago. And when it was brought to the Horniman, it was no one had seen, well, the people who stuffed it had not seen a live walrus. So if anyone knows what live walruses look like, they have a lot of folds of skin on them. And as you'll notice, this one doesn't, because they didn't know about that. So they simply carried on stuffing until it was full. So we have probably the world's fattest walrus on display. But it is sort of become the symbol of the Horniman, really, and everyone loves the walrus.
And can you describe for me, so in all of these display cases around here, we have taxidermy,
yes,
animals. What is taxidermy?
Taxidermy is when you stuff a dead animal, basically, to make it look realistic and as it would do when it was alive. And it was very, very popular in Victorian times, particularly. Even relatively modest homes might have a stuffed squirrel or something, because often people hadn't seen a lot of these animals live, and this was as close as they could get to them. So it was big, big business, and a lot of the collection is stuffed animals. We're a lot more than that now, a lot more than that, but that was the beginning of it, in a way. So there's all sorts, from birds. There's a lot about evolution as well, and how things have evolved. We've got monkeys, we've got ostriches, we've got badgers. The walrus is the biggest thing we have, but there's also a dodo, which I could show you if you like. I quite like that.
Oh yeah, let's see a dodo. Extinct animal.
It is extinct, and in fact there aren't any actual or very few remnants of actual real dodos left. So this is a model of a dodo, as it might have looked, which I'm sure many people know. Basically, it looks like a massively overfed chicken with a funny blue face. But actually, we think that these dodos possibly didn't look exactly like that. They may have been far more upright, more like an ostrich, because there's a small drawing below the dodo which shows one walking around. It was done at the time when they were still alive, and that's much more upright. So the idea of what a dodo looks like is guesswork to some degree. But that's quite popular here as well.
What about the other side?
I can see some ostriches. You mentioned ostriches. I can see some ostriches. I can see some skeletons of apes or primates. Mm-hmm. I think in the corner over here, I saw, is it a flying squirrel?
You may have done, yeah.
Which to me just looks like the most bonkers thing ever. It looks like something, you know, when you watch cartoons and you see somebody with like a rug on their floor, and it's an animal.
Just like
it
that.
Looks like that.
I mean, they are they can't truly fly, in that they glide, basically. I think the only flying mammal is a bat, but they can glide quite large distances, and it's almost like they've got a built-in cape.
Hey! So we've wandered into the World Gallery, which is basically directly opposite the Natural History Gallery. What are we looking at here? There's a tree that I may have seen from some kind of photos before.
Possibly. That's a wishing tree where visitors can put on their wishes, whether they're personal or slightly wide-ranging. But this gallery is split up into essentially geographical areas. So each little section is either, you know, North America or Oceania or Africa. But this is a nice gallery because it's a mix of modern day and historic artifacts, but with quite a lot of interactive stuff. And there are nice things like there's a constant video of a market in Nigeria, and there are Native American stories being told at one end, with all sorts of things like that. So it's a really atmospheric gallery, I think, and you can hear the ambient noise as well, which adds to the atmosphere a little. I think it's nice.
You can visit all continents by just visiting the Horn.
Exactly. It's all here.
It's free to enter, free to come to, donations very much encouraged. Why do you think places like this are really important?
Well, I mean, it's back to Horniman's original vision of just bringing the world to people, because not everyone can afford to go to the world, particularly when it started. But now it has a hugely important educational value as well. We have countless school groups coming in, a lot of young parents with kids, older people too. So it covers the whole range, and a lot of the galleries and activities are deliberately designed to stretch over that whole range as well. So it's a museum for everyone, really.
Oh, I've absolutely enjoyed my time here at the Horniman. Definitely come and check it out. As I say, it's free to visit. Donations very much encouraged. They've also got loads of really cool exhibitions that you can check out too. For more, just search the Horniman.
Thanks, Adam. That's the Horniman Museum and Gardens. Adam was telling me all about the cabinets at the Horniman Museum. They are full with loads of incredible things, and he was saying that they're also listed. That means they're super important and can't be changed too much. They look like very typical museum cabinets. They're all glass with some wood around. So how about we take some of that inspiration and use it here for an at-home craft?
We can still bring the spirit of the Horniman into your home by creating your very own miniature exhibit. Are you ready to dive into the world of art, culture, and history? Let's get started. You'll need a shoebox or a small cardboard box, small objects or toys, craft supplies, scissors, and small labels or index cards. For the first step, you need to choose your theme. Think about what kind of exhibit you'd like to create. You can choose a theme related to the Horniman Museum, such as natural history, cultural artifacts, music, or even a combination of these. Get inspired by browsing the Horniman Museum's website or using any photos or printouts you have. Your shoebox or cardboard box will be the display case for your mini exhibit. Open the box and remove the lid. This will serve as the base for your display. Gather small objects or toys that represent the artifacts you'd like to feature in your exhibit. For example, if you're creating a natural history exhibit, use figurines of animals or miniature plants. Create labels or index cards for each artifact. Write a brief description including the name of the artifact, its origin, and any interesting facts. You can decorate these labels with drawings or images related to your exhibit. Now, it's time to arrange your artifacts inside the box. Place your small objects or toys inside the box, arranging them in an organized way. Consider the placement and spacing, and make your mini exhibit visually engaging. Position your labels or index cards next to each artifact, and make sure they're easily readable and add context to the exhibit. You can use small pieces of double-sided tape or putty to secure them in place. And there you have it, your very own mini Horniman Museum exhibit.
Thanks, Georgia, and just like that, we are done. Remember, there's loads of episodes of Activity Quest that you can go back and listen to anytime you fancy. If you want some more suggestions of stuff to do, just scroll back in your podcast app and pick an episode you like. I'm Bex, and this has been a podcast for the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. It was produced and edited by Adam Stoner. Listen to me on your DAB radio, online, on the free Fun Kids mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Just say, play Fun Kids every weekday from 4 p.m. See you soon.